On the resurrection morning, when all the dead in Christ shall rise,
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal
soul in weakness, raised in power, ready to live in paradise.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
I'll have a new home.
Glory, glory.
With the redeemed
never
of God.
Stand.
There'll be no more sorrow,
no more pain. There'll be no more strife.
Yes, raising the likeness
in
of my
likeness.
Savior, ready to live.
I'll be glad.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal.
Free from every imperfection, youthful and happy I shall be.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new
life.
Glorified with him forever, death will be lost in victory.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Yes,
I'll have a new home.
Glory, glory.
With the redeemed
never stand.
Sorrow,
no more pain, there'll be no more strife.
Yes, raising the likeness
in
of my
his likeness,
Savior, ready to live.
I'll be glad.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal.
What a hallelujah morning when the last trump of God shall sound. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal
praise. All bursting saints are shouting, heavenly beauty all around.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Oh, yes.
I'll have a new home.
Glory, glory.
With the redeemed of God to stand.
No more pain, there'll be no more strife.
Yes, raising the likeness
in
of
his likeness,
ready to live.
I'll be glad.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Eternal.
Good morning, good evening, wherever you may be. This is your host, Bruce Kessler. Welcome to the Passion for Christ show. So glad to have you, friend. Hey, folks, I'm privileged to be a part of the greatest movement ever, a follower of Jesus Christ, for in him I find peace, joy, and happiness, and I am blessed beyond measure, more than I ever deserve. My goal here, friend, is very simple. That is to encourage you along the way to help you find your passion in life in Jesus Christ. Upcoming in our study segment, we're going to be talking about why the resurrection of Jesus Christ should matter to you. But first, headline news. Get this. After being fired for sharing a post on Instagram opposing homosexuality, Australian Christian rugby player Israel Folau has filed suit against Rugby Australia. On Thursday, the 30-year-old announced that he had filed an application with the Australian Fair Work Commission for religious discrimination, which he believes was the backbone of his termination. No Australian of any faith should be fired for practicing their religion, he said. His contract was terminated in April after he shared a post on Instagram warning drunks, homosexuals, adulterers, liars, fornicators, thieves, atheists, and idolaters to turn away from sin. Those, he said, that are living in sin will end up in hell unless you repent. Jesus Christ loves you and has given you time to turn away from your sin and come to him. He quoted Galatians 5:19-21. Soon after sharing his post, he was accused by Rugby Australia of breaching the player's code of conduct, which led to the termination of his employment. In a statement that he shared with his legal team, he noted that he felt he needed to stand up for people's freedoms in Australia. He said, "I will ever be grateful and proud to have played the sport I love for our nation. Ours is an amazing country built on important principles, including freedom of religion. A nation made up of so many different faiths and cultural backgrounds will never be truly rich unless this freedom applies to all of us." There you go, folks. Former rugby player files religious discrimination suit after being fired over expressing his Christian views. Honestly, folks, this should make us all the more a little nervous to realize that in our country here in America, too, something like this could easily happen. Be careful and be prayerful, folks, in how you handle the truth. Well, get this. An 18-year-old teenager who converted to Christianity from Islam is on the run in Ghana because she says her Muslim father is threatening to kill her. Maryam Sadu has been in hiding since March after her father hired youth to attack her at church. She survived but remains in fear for her life. "My father said because of the church, he will disown me. He told me if I still go to church, he will bring cutlass, a short sword, to the church and come and butcher me." The father, Abakar Sidhu, acknowledged trying to get her to return home but denied threatening to kill her. "If she remains a Christian, he will disown her." Miriam credits her Christian faith for saving her from the life of immorality. "She met a friend. She was a stubborn girl. I used to go with my friends, club, smoke, and take alcohol, but she come across a friend who was a Christian. Islam, she said, wasn't meeting her spiritual needs. She doesn't want to return. I can't just be there like that," she said of Muslim prayers. So there you go, folks. Muslim father ready to go to jail over Christian daughter's conversion. Folks, we have it so easy here in America. We need to pray for this young lady who was converted to Christianity. She may be safe. Well, get this. The Vatican released a document aimed at confronting an educational crisis over, guess what? Gender and sexuality. That's right. The report aimed to address the disorientation leaders see regarding gender, sexuality, and biology. They say this confusion has destabilized the family as an institution and sought to cancel out the differences between men and women by acting as if they are merely the product of historical and cultural conditioning. Well, I agree with them there, folks. They've got a lot going on as they make this point in a document called Male and Female, He Created Them. They say that the idea of gender fluidity originated because of a confused concept of freedom and momentary desires, which are emblematic of our current culture. Robert P. George, professor at Princeton, argued that withholding the truth about gender from people, even those experienced gender dysphoria, would be to not truly love the people to whom one is ministering. In addition, he said that the truth is liberating and life-giving even when it is hard to hear and hard to live up to. He said refusing to tell people the truth will prove to be something far worse than a mere failure. The highest price will be paid by those who most badly needed to hear the whole truth proclaimed. Dr. Lawrence Mayer, a scholar in residence, Department of Psychiatry at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine and a professor of statistics and biostatistics at Arizona State University, argued that transgender ideology is based on mere social policy and not in medicine or biology. He said, scientifically speaking, transgender men are not biological men and transgender women are not biological women. The claims to the contrary are not supported by a scintilla of scientific evidence. There you go, folks. Vatican releases report rejecting transgender ideology. Folks, that is a tremendous problem, and we need to pray, and come to an understanding of what the Bible says about transgender ideology. And that's our headline news for this broadcast. And now, this day in church history. In 1755, on this day, the birth in New York of John Marant, an African-American who will become a missionary to Native Americans, one of America's first African-American missionaries. In 1660, on this day, the British House of Commons passes a resolution to burn books of John Milton that had championed the parliamentary rebellion against Charles I and argued for the legitimacy of that king's execution. The books will be burned on August 27, 1660. On this day in church history, in 1833, John Henry Newman, while traveling on a ship from Italy to France, pens the words to the hymn, "Lead Kindly Light Amid the Encircling Gloom." And finally, on this day in church history, for the first time that William Booth and Catherine Munford met, she scolded him when he confessed he sometimes drank a little port. As a complete abstainer and the daughter of an alcoholic, she would not allow even health as an excuse for imbibing alcohol. Soon they met again at a tea meeting of Methodist reformers, where she was deeply moved by the message he preached. When she became ill, he escorted her home across London. "Before we reached my home, we both felt as though we had been made for each other," wrote Catherine. William pronounced it love at first sight. On this day, 16 of June, 1855, they were married, becoming one of the greatest husband-wife evangelistic teams known to history, the founders of the Salvation Army. And that's this day in church history. And now we have Name That Bible Character segment. Here is your clue. I am the city where Samuel was buried. What city am I? I am the city where Samuel was buried. What city am I? We'll reveal the answer following the study segment, so stay tuned, folks, for that exciting reveal in our final segment of Name That Bible Character. Now we have our study for this broadcast, titled, Why the Resurrection of Jesus Christ Should Matter to You. It's interesting, in the world in which we live in today, there are so many things you can and cannot do, and Most people are afraid of offending someone, especially in regards to their faith in Jesus Christ, especially in regards to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Sometimes our first impulse today is to tread a little lightly, and if we're asked about our faith, we kind of want to shy away from it, water it down just a little bit, cause no waves whatsoever, and out of fear of being labeled as mean-spirited or judgmental, we just don't speak the truth as we would like. And yet, preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ cuts through the minutiae of cultural norms and demands our attention and your attention, listener and friend. And I'll hearken back to a message by Peter and John in Acts chapter 3. So get you a cup of coffee. I got me a hot cup of coffee right here. And friend, just get whatever drink you like in the mornings and open up to Acts chapter 3. And we're going to start reading in verse 11 and just go through there and walk through God's word and see what he has to say about why the resurrection of Jesus Christ should matter to you. And you know, this follows right after they healed a man that was lame from birth. It was a great miracle. And so in answer to that, we find in verse 11, "Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed." So when Peter saw it, in verse 12, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power, our godliness, we have made this man walk?" Why look at us, Peter? Why focus your attention on? We're not the ones that have the power. And so Peter here is going to refocus their attention on the resurrected Savior, folks. Listen to verse 13. "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One, friend, and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life." Listen, folks, get your pants on and get your suit tied up and get your shoes on. And he says this, "whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses, and in his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Peter says, "Look, the man that you crucified, the man that you didn't choose, the man that was led to the cross, the man that was resurrected, that's the power that changed the course of this lame man's life, and it will change the course of your life if you would just listen and believe in the resurrected Savior." Amen, folks. We too can become strong. We too can have perfect soundness if we turn by faith to the resurrected Savior. Verse 17, he continues, "Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled." Verse 19, "Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." He says, now all the things that I'm talking about Jesus Christ, about coming, about being crucified, about being resurrected from the dead, all those things are being fulfilled right now in front of you. And so the meaning of this, the purpose of this, the plan for this, why it's crucial, why it should matter to you, friend, is that you need to repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. verse 20, and that he may send Christ Jesus, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all those holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And he's pointing back to Jesus Christ. He says, now look, it began with Moses, it began with prophets teaching about Jesus Christ. And Jesus was the fulfillment of all these things. And God would raise up a prophet like me. And you need to listen to him. Whatever he says, listen. Verse 23, and it shall be that every soul who will not hear the prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. You know why the resurrection of Jesus Christ should matter to you? One, because that's the only way to be saved. But number two, if you refuse to listen, you will be not just destroyed, but utterly and completely. Woo! It should make us all nervous. Verse 24, yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are the sons of the prophets and the covenant which God has made with the fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the nations and families of the earth shall be blessed. Verse 26, he concludes this message with this. To you first, God, having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you and turning every one of you from your iniquities. Why the resurrection of Jesus Christ should matter to you? Because the force of that, the power of that, the dynamic truth of that is to turn you away from your iniquities, to turn you to the only one who has the power of salvation. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. You need to hear it. You need to believe it. And you need to come to Jesus today, friend. And that's our study for this broadcast. And now we have our final segment of Name That Bible Character. Here was your clue. I am the city where Samuel was buried. What city am I? Ramah. Ramah. 1 Samuel 25 verse 1. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David rose and went down into the wilderness of Paran. I am the city where Samuel was buried. What city am I? Ramah. And name that Bible character. Well, friend, you too can become a part of the greatest movement ever. Become a follower of Jesus Christ. For in him you can find peace, joy, and happiness and be blessed beyond measure more than you ever deserve. My goal here has been simple. That is to encourage you, friend, along the way to help you find your passion in life in Jesus Christ. If you ever come through Norman, Oklahoma, stop by and visit with us at the South Canadian Valley Church of Christ. And if you can't stop by, well, visit our website, normanchurch.com. 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 Hey, friend. Just want you to know, just go to our website, click sermons, and we've been having a series called Announcing the Good News of Jesus Christ, and click that and enjoy those powerful messages by Brother J. Lloyd. I want to just end this broadcast with this. Thank you, friend, for listening. May God bless you.
Jesus is just all right with me.
I said,
Jesus is just all right. Oh yeah. Jesus is just all right with me.
I'm saying,
Jesus is just all right. oh yeah. Jesus is just all right, oh yeah. I don't care what they may say.
I don't care
what they may do. I don't care what they may know. Jesus is just all right, oh yeah. Jesus is just all right, oh yeah.
He's my Savior and friend. He's my friend to the end. He's my Savior and friend. He's my friend to the end. He's my
Jesus.
He's my friend.
He's my friend.
He's my friend.
Oh, Jesus.
He's my friend.
He took me by the hand.
He's my friend.
Led me on across this big land. Jesus,
he's my friend. He's my Savior. He's my Savior.
Jesus is just all right with me. Jesus is just all right. Oh, yeah. Jesus is just all right with me. Jesus is just all right, oh yeah. Jesus is just all right, oh yeah. I don't care what they may say.
I don't care
what they may do. I don't care what they may know. Jesus is just all right, oh yeah. Jesus is just all right, oh yeah.